Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Hey, good evening, everybody. I am delighted that my friend Ari Spado is with us tonight. Some of you who've been on the channel for a while may remember we did an interview about 4 or 5 years ago now. It's been a while. But Ari spent time in the MDC, where Diddy is. Ari has, let's say, a connection with the guy who, what's his name now? Phil Pines.
Charlie. Oh, Phil Pines.
Phil
Pines, very close relationship.
We're going to talk about his involvement with Diddy. And Ari's YouTube channel link is, I'm going to put that in the description box right now. And I would urge people to go over. He's got quite a lot of followers on Instagram as well. He's got his website and he's got his book. And he's got a fascinating backstory himself. So huge thank you for coming on.
Hey, Sean, you know, you're all the way over there across the pond, and I got to commend you. You're getting better known about Diddy than anybody over here.
We have had quite a few, quite a range of guests on talking about Diddy and Jay-Z.
Jay-Z, yeah, you. I don't know much about Jay-Z, and I don't know his tie into this situation. I don't know if anybody's got it accurate. You might probably know more than I do, you know. But, you know, you saw the HBO special, The Fall of Diddy. It was a great special they did. And you saw Phil Pines. Now, I have known Phil Pines for 7 or 8 years, maybe longer, because he is close friends with my son. And I hope everybody saw him on, but, you know, he was in the music business and the managerial aspect before he took that job. I believe he was a manager, but he was involved in the music business. And he's probably one of the nicest young men that anybody could meet. But working for Diddy, Diddy is such a control freak that nobody could even imagine. Now, I'll tell you a story. When this took at Diddy's home in Miami. Now, Phil, as you saw, he was the guy you had to make sure. All right. My son's telling me to clean my camera. I'm doing the best I could. Is that better?
Yeah, you're doing good. Doing good. You're fine.
Okay. Sure.
You're fine.
But anyhow, you know, Phil gets everything set up for Diddy, goes home with his significant other, wants to relax, and he gets a text from Diddy. You got to come back and pick up my remote. His remote for his TV. So Phil had to go all the way back to the house, go up to Diddy's bedroom. Diddy's in girl in bed with a girl. The remote's on the floor. Phil had to pick up the remote and hand it to him. You think Diddy would have bent over and picked the damn thing up himself? That's how much of a control freak this guy is. And, you know, most people thought it was an honor to go work for this guy, for who he was and everything, until they started working for him. And, you know, I only met Diddy one time many, many years ago at a nightclub here in Los Angeles. And I met him through Jimmy Henchman. I think you probably know who Jimmy Henchman is. Jimmy was a dear friend of mine, and he's doing life in prison now. I'm starting to see Jimmy's name circulating over here and different things relating, I don't know if it's true, it's not true, relating to the murder of Tupac and Biggie. I'm sure you heard them. Right, Sean? You know, Sean, you got the honor, you know, Diddy suing you. I mean, that's a big honor.
Well, Ori, I was named. I'm not being sued. He's suing one of my podcast guests, Courtney Burgess, and he's suing his Courtney Burgess's lawyer, Ariel Mitchell. They were both on my channel saying stuff, so they're suing them because they said stuff on my channel.
Wait, now, is that the lawyer? I couldn't figure out if he was a lawyer or a comedian. I watched your show yesterday. That guy is all the, he went into Hollywood and he was accurate. He was correct in everything he said, I gotta tell you. But he did it in such a funny way. I laughed like that. And you know what? I sent it to my director and writer of my script. And I said, you got to watch this, because we happened to have that conversation yesterday afternoon when we had a meeting here about Hollywood. And here's this guy telling everything about it. Yeah.
That was Lionel. He's an ex-prosecutor. He's an ex-prosecutor, Lionel.
Yeah, is that his name?
Yeah, that's his name.
Yeah, well, tell him he's got to come out here and be at the comedy club. I'll buy the first ticket.
Before we talk more about Diddy stuff, Ori, the viewers are asking, who are not familiar with your story, what your story is.
Say again?
The viewers are asking, what is your story?
Ask him what my story is?
Yeah.
Your friend?
No, the viewers. The viewers.
My story about my life?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, first thing I want to correct, okay? A lot of people call me the mob boss of Hollywood. Now, I never considered myself the mob boss, okay? Now, everybody knows, everybody's got me associated with Sonny Franchese out of New York, who I knew for close to 50 years. But who I was closer to was Jimmy Cacci, the underboss of Los Angeles. And I'm going to say this, some people might get hurt. Ounce for ounce, Jimmy Cacci was probably one of the best men you ever wanted to meet. Tough guy. Yeah, he was a skipper originally from Buffalo, New York. And he and I made a lot of money together. Now, the boss of Los Angeles, his name was Pete Milano. I had met Pete on two occasions. And then there was something else that happened with me and another gentleman at a bar here in Beverly Hills one night. And the individual said something to me. And I used to carry back in those days. And I took two bullets out, put them on the bar, and said, "This is all it takes." And he got wind of that and never liked me after that. But what happened was when Jimmy's brother was Bobby Milano, who was married to Keeley Smith. Everybody should know Keeley Smith. And Bobby's real name was Charlie Cacci. Charlie was dying. And I went down to Palm Springs on a Saturday and saw Charlie, and Keeley was there, plus Charlie's girlfriend, Jimmy, his sister, brother-in-law, so forth. And I'll never forget him, Jimmy. His sister and brother-in-law came out of the bedroom. They said, "All right, Charlie like to talk to you." So I went back in the bedroom, big king size. Charlie laying down. I laid down and I held his hand. I said, "Charlie, I know what you're worried about." I said, "Don't worry. I will take care of your brother." And he just tightened his grip on my hand. He says, "Ori, you promise." I said, "I know that's what's bothering you." He says, "Or you promise?" I said, "I promise." He said, "Ori, because your promise is the best in the world." I said, "Charlie, don't worry about Jimmy. I'll take care of him. All I want you to do, concentrate on getting better so I can have you performing down at the Queen Mary." That was a Saturday. On Sunday, I flew to New York. Monday morning, Charlie passed away. They had a service one day down in Palm Springs. And I kept my promise. At the service in Palm Springs, they flew Charlie's body to Buffalo. And that's where the wake funeral was for 4 or 5 days. It was a big, big event. And I drove from New York City to Buffalo. And I was with Jimmy every day from morning to night. But the first thing that Jimmy tells me, he says, "Ori," he says, "you're not going to believe this." He says, "Pete sent two guys down to pay his respects to my brother." He said, "And they had a message to me that I was to talk to you, because everybody thinks that you are the mob boss of Hollywood." And that's how it began. All right. From the boss sticking on the hot. That's the kind of boss he was, right? If he's got, think too much about himself, I guess. I don't know. But that's how it began. And it hasn't stuck. I never considered myself the mob boss. Yes, I did my own thing here. I don't bother nobody. I don't want nobody to bother me. And that's how I did things. So that's, I wanted to correct that situation for everybody.
What is the relationship between the mafia and Hollywood?
Huh? What's the relationship? People don't understand. It's been a lifelong since the beginning of Hollywood. Okay? You know, everybody wants to say Frank Sinatra, who I know, Dean Martin, who I know, and many others. They are saying, I'm reading some of these things, all right, that these guys were in the mob. What people don't realize, no, they were not in the mob. They began. We owned all the nightclubs back in those days. This is where they sang. That's where they got their beginnings. So they got to know us, Okay? It was a great thing. And so, you know, Frank wasn't in the mob. Yeah, he was connected. Dean was, they knew people. That's it. Like, you know people. Okay? Everybody knows somebody. It don't put you someplace. Okay? But, you know, anybody remember Decca Records? You do?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you do, Sean. I bet none of the people listening ever heard of Decca Records. What is Decca Records today? It's Universal Studios. Okay. Began in New York. Decca Records. So who owned it and who controlled it? The old guys in the mob did. So there's always been problems in Hollywood. There's always been gangsters around. And people love gangster movies. And so there's been a lot of movies about gangsters. You got two coming out. One this month. Well, it's not a gangster movie, but it's funnier than hell. Comeback Trail with Robert De Niro. And then in March, you got Alto Nights, written by, Comeback Trail is written and directed by George Gallo, who's wrote and who's directing my film. And Alto Nights is written by Nick Pileggi, who's a dear friend of mine, who wrote Casino and Goodfellas. And Alto Nights is about Frank Costello and Vito Genovese. And De Niro is playing both of them. And you shut this damn phone off. And so that's coming out March 21st. Everybody be able to see that movie.
You've got a question, Ori, from Monica. How much of the mob still controls Hollywood today?
The mob does not control Hollywood. Okay? They had no control on it, like people think, okay? As far as the mob here in California, not much of any presence here anymore. Okay, it's almost all gone. And, you know, the mob has changed since the old days. Like the guys, I knew Frank Costello. I knew Carlo Marcello. You know, people like that there. You're going way back, Meyer Lansky days. And, you know, those were the real days of the mob. Everything after that is, it's all changed. Everybody's become an informant, and YouTube's full of informants. YouTube with the gangster genre actually was made by the informants. So what are those informants doing? They're training all their listeners how to be an informant. Okay, see, I was in the mob, but I informed, I'm out of it, okay? I put 100 people in prison. That's what the fuck they're doing. All right.
Did the corporations buy the mafia out of Hollywood?
No. Not nobody bought the mafia out of anything except Las Vegas. All right, Las Vegas was taken over by the corporation. I don't like Las Vegas nowadays. People love it. Because they don't know what it was back in the old days. But I started going there in the late 60s. I never paid for a drink. I never paid for a meal. I never paid for a room. I never paid to see a show. And when you walked in the casino, first worker in that employee in that casino saw you. Hey, Ori, how you doing? Great to see you. They knew everybody's name. They took care of the people. Gambling was the number one revenue. Like corporation take it over. Gambling is no longer the number one revenue. Hotel rooms are. Can't get comp like you did back in those days.
You got a question from
me. It was so much fun. You dressed up. It was a classy thing to go to the casino. Everybody was dressed. You didn't see no children. Today, it's just a vacation spot for families. They go there.
You've got a question from Hamamoto. Did you know Mickey Cohen? My father took me to meet him at his Beverly Hills home.
Really? No, I did not know Mickey. But I did go to his home and I did do a story about Mickey. Okay, Mickey was a really tough guy, had a lot of control here in Los Angeles. You know, him and Bugsy, Benjamin Siegel. All right, they were two Jewish guys, had a lot of control with the syndicate. That was a syndicate now. Okay, that was not the mafia. You got to understand the difference between the syndicate and the mafia. It's a big difference.
All right, and for the viewers then, I see Professor Hamamoto, I've sent you an email. Viewers, would you like Hamamoto to come on to talk about the Grammys? Put one in the chat, and we will endeavor to do that. So Natalie has got a question for you. What do you know about Marilyn Monroe and her death?
What do I know about it? Well, I had nothing to do with it. Let me get that out there first. Okay. I believe that she was murdered, given an overdose. All right. And there's been a lot of stories about it, and this and that, and who actually did it, they're never going to know. So it's just going to become, like Jimmy Hoffa, a conspiracy theory. JFK, will we know when our government's going to come out finally with the paperwork on JFK? Are they going to be telling us the truth in there? Are those papers going to be redacted? There's a lot to that story. Okay. Who was at the grassy knoll? I seen pictures many years ago about two gentlemen at that grassy knoll. Johnny Roselli and Jimmy Fratiano were there. That's what I was told. I saw a picture of them there. A friend of mine had that. That has to be 40 years ago I saw that. The Kennedys, powerful family. Old man Kennedy made a lot of money. Dealt a lot with Frank Costello. He ended up being able to take that there, going legitimately, I forget what liquor company, that the whole family still gets a percentage of every bottle that comes over. There's no question that it was the mob that got Kennedy in as president. No question about that there. Nobody's ever disputing that. But old man Kennedy made his son Jack put his brother Bobby in as the head of the Department of Justice. And the first thing he did was go after the very same people that put him in office. So what's the truth? What's not the truth? Nobody's alive to tell you. You hear different people telling you different things. Okay? I've heard different things. I was in a room with some of those names that I mentioned previously. You know, sometimes in life, you got to be careful who you cross, because you never know who you're crossing. It might be the quietest guy, but it might be that quiet guy that's going to do the most damage. So you don't know.
Very, very wise words. Do you think that the CIA contracted the mob with JFK?
The CIA is involved, absolutely. I believe it was the CIA that put Johnny Roselli, okay, in that barrel down in Miami, all right, to kill them. You know, Johnny Roselli, you know, he was a very powerful individual, very smart, well-liked in Hollywood, had a lot, he was a powerhouse out here. Out here in Las Vegas, okay? And, you know, people don't realize how close he was to Howard Hughes. Now, you know, back in the day, Howard Hughes was who Elon Musk is today, I guess, okay? Howard Hughes was, I remember back in the day, were only three billionaires in the world, and Howard Hughes was one of them. Okay, but when he went into Vegas and started buying hotels, he couldn't just buy them like that. All right? Jimmy Roselli arranged it with... Boy, I'm going blank on the name. The guy that was with... A former CIA guy that was with Howard Hughes. His name had come to me. Forgive me, folks. I am 80 years old. I do have a senior moment once in a while. Not like Joe Biden. But I can't remember his name. But then again, you know, so that same CIA agent is when they wanted to get rid of Castro and how all that began. It all works and ties in together. Okay. I happen to know that the CIA, they use guys like myself and others for certain things when they wanted something and needed something done. Okay. You know, it's not like they did it once. They did it many times, okay? They're very smart back in those days, anyways. I don't know how they are today. I stay away from that there.
Keith wants to know if you knew Jack Ruby.
No, I did not know Jack Ruby, but, you know, there's another name. Jack Ruby was very well mob connected, okay? So it was no accident, okay? It's no accident that Ruby was at the jailhouse that day and killed the guy that they think shot Kennedy.
Oswald. So Chantel, have you watched Oliver Stone's movie, JFK?
Accurate. You know, I can't even remember it. I did see it. I happen to know Oliver. Nice guy. I can't really talk about that, whether it's accurate. Oliver does a good job, and he does great research, so I'm going to assume it's fairly accurate.
Were you ever close to Frank Sinatra, and did he have a few people whacked?
I was close to Frank Sinatra, and Frank never had nobody whacked.
Any Sinatra stories?
Oh, I tell the same story all the time. Everybody's heard them. You know, I used to meet Frank. First, how I met Frank was through Jimmy Cacci. Because Jimmy was the boss of Palm Springs. They took all the action. Frank was a big gambler. And one time he lost $500,000 in one weekend. He couldn't tell his wife about it. So So he was late in paying. So I met him with Jimmy. He said, give me a few days. And he got the money. Guess who gave him the money? Dean Martin. Dean was very smart with his money. Made a lot of money, Dean. So did Frank, obviously. Frank was a nice guy. He was an amazing individual. Everybody knows he was one of the greatest singers ever on this earth, at least in my era. And, I get my son's car, and my son says, Siri, play Frank Sinatra music. My son does that all the time for me, all right? He knows all that technology stuff, and Frank comes on the radio. I love it. I used to meet Frank at Mateo's restaurant on Westwood Boulevard in Westwood. Sunday night was the night to go there. Now, Frank put the money in to help Maddie start that restaurant. Frank actually owned half of it.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And then one, this is the kind of guy Frank is. One day he just told Maddie, you own it all. And he gave all the stock to Maddie for nothing. Okay? Didn't want his money back. It's how we did things in those days, folks. Okay? You came to me, you need a few grand. Sure, here. Okay? How we did things. Today, people don't do that. They don't help each other out. You know, everybody just wants to con people out of something. It's terrible. But Frank was a gentleman. One night we're walking out of the restaurant. Now Frank couldn't smoke around his wife. So I sat on the smoking side back in those days. He was on the other side. And then when he'd come out, he and I would meet at the bar and we would sit there and smoke and have a drink. And but one night we left there and we're at the valet waiting for our car. And the valet brings Frank's car. And Frank had $100 that he was going to tip the guy. And he told the young man, he says, what's the biggest tip you ever got? And the guy says, $100, sir. But Frank goes back in his pocket and takes out another 100. And he gives the guy 200. And then he says, by the way, kid, he says, who gave you the 100? You did, sir.
You're getting asked if you've heard of Clive Davis. Clive Davis.
I met Clive Davis, okay, when he was showcasing Alicia Keys. I think it was at the Rainbow on Sunset Boulevard here. That was a long time ago. And I'm going to tell you, I'm so tone deaf, you wouldn't believe it. And he was showcasing. She wasn't big. And I made a remark to somebody. I said, I think this is going to be Clive's first failure. Oh, boy, was I wrong, huh?
Getting asked about Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole. Oh, I used to listen to him at San Francisco at the Fairmont Hotel. Yeah, he was amazing. Yeah.
What about Woody Harrelson? Sorry, keep going.
Woody Harrelson's dead. No, I didn't know him. No, he's doing life in prison.
What were you going to say about Nat King Cole? Sorry?
No, I wasn't going to say nothing about it. I didn't really know him. I used to listen to him. You know, I met him, but that's about it. You know, I met a lot of people, but can I say I know them? Huh?
What about Jimmy Hoffa?
Jimmy Hoffa. I can tell you this. Jimmy Hoffa was never put in a barrel and delivered in New York. Okay? Not in a million years. I venture to say that Jimmy Hoffa, from when he was picked up at that restaurant, all right, died within 30 to 40 minutes afterwards, and that his body was put in an incinerator and burned, and they will never find him. And to back that up, there was a place with incinerators that happened to have a fire a few weeks afterwards in Detroit. Jimmy Hoffa was just a guy that thought things,
Do you think Sammy Davis Jr. lost his eye in a car accident, or is the rumor true he made a wrong move and they took his eye?
No, he lost in a car accident. Okay, just like they say. You know, there's so many conspiracy. All right. And did I ever meet Elvis Presley personally? No, I did not. But back in the days when he was in Las Vegas at the International Hilton, I'll tell you a little story. I used to go to Stardust, and I was there with my wife, my cousin, and his wife. And me and my cousin were gambling. We had reservations to see Elvis. And me and my cousin were already dressed, and the girls come out, they're dressed. They said, "We're all ready." I said, "All right, you got a lot of time. You girls go over there, we'll meet you at the Hilton, all right?" So me and my cousin, we get done, we go meet them. There's a long, long line waiting to go in to see Elvis. And there's my wife, Antoinette, and my cousin's wife. His name happened to be, her name was Antoinette also. And they're at the end of the line. And I go, "What are you doing back here? You don't have to wait in line. Come with me." So they come, we all go, we get to the door. "Mr. Spado, how are you? We have your table ready right there in front of this stage." Could have touched Elvis. We didn't, of course, but I'm going to tell you, he was awesome. I did get to meet his wife, and I was good friends with his left-hand man, Joe Esposito, who we met. You know, Joe was originally from Chicago. They met when Elvis was in the Army. He was Elvis's, I said left-hand, he was his right-hand man, okay? And he's the one who found Elvis dead in Memphis at Elvis's home.
Chantel, what was the best decade of your life and why? Best time of your life?
The best decade of my life. Yeah. You know, I got to tell you something. I would not give up for anything. My younger years, growing up in a small town around New York, with my mom and dad. Those were great times. My time in the military, I try to look at life as though my life is a good life. I lived a different life than most people. I've been involved in a lot of different things. I've had very legitimate businesses where I made millions of dollars. I lost it all. Okay. But, I'm 80 years old and I keep coming back. I keep resurrecting myself. I don't stop. And I will not stop until the day that I die. It's within me. I've been hustling all my life. I began as a paper boy and went on. I have not stopped hustling. And it's just something that I love doing. It's the idea. It's the game. Of course, I'm in a new era here that I don't like. I do not like technology. I hate technology. And I think technology is going to be the thing that will destroy the world. It's not going to be a great fire or a big fight. Okay. It's going to be technology. Because the day will come that it all be shut off. And people don't know how to talk to their neighbors no more. People don't even know who their neighbors are. People were afraid to walk down the street. People got locked their doors. I didn't grow up that way. We never locked our doors. We knew our neighbors. Okay? You went on the street, you played kickball. We fought. We did everything. Okay? It's just so disgusting today that you walk around and everybody's got this phone. You got to be careful driving because people are crossing the street. They're not looking at the cars. They're looking because they think they're a big shot on their phone. Okay? And that person to talk to that nobody knows might be the most important person in their life, but nobody else knows that person. You go into a restaurant, you see a guy, young guy and gal out on a date. They're both holding their phones. They're not talking to each other. For me to come on here, if you didn't send me anything, I don't know what to do. Okay? I did that. I didn't know anything about that interview with that prison guard I did today. Unfortunately, the rain, the girl got here late, setting things up. We had some, she even, with what she knows, she has some technical problems. She's got to fix it up. It's got to be reposted. So it's not going to be like it should have been. I was looking forward to this prison guard to talk about exactly. And remember, don't forget everybody, I'm the one, all right? Did he change his name a million times? But it was Ori Spadel that gave him the name Punk Diddy. Okay, don't forget that. He's a woman abuser, and he's everything else. And, he still thinks he's that in his head. Okay, but in prison, he's being treated like every other inmate. He's no different. He's an inmate. Get over it, Diddy. Okay? He expects that because he's Diddy that he should get special treatment. It's not going to happen.
Let me just explain. Let me explain, Ori. Ori has just interviewed a guard at the MDC in disguise, and you'll be able to watch that. The link for Ori's socials and his channel is in the description box. And Ori also spent time in MDC, where Diddy is housed. Why were you in MDC, Ori?
I was there on a Colombo crime family racketeering indictment. Got arrested in 2008. And I spent 30 months in MDC, Brooklyn. So I know it very well. It was bad when I was there. I heard it's 100 times worse. Now, there's two buildings there, the east and west. We refer to them as the old and new. The old is dorms. It's just one giant big room that's got like 120 guys in it. Your bathroom, your kitchen, your toilets, everything in one room. So you can be going to the bathroom and somebody's eating right behind you. All right? That's how it was. In the wintertime, they had the heat on so high, you couldn't take it. And then in summer, the air conditioner was so cold, you froze all the time. So there's no comforts about being in prison. But like she said, because she remembered me. He remembered me. We changed her voice to a female. But remember when I was there, I accepted the fact that I was in prison, okay? And there's certain rules in prison. Keep your mouth shut, all right? I never ask another person. I never say, hey, Sean, what'd you get indicted for? All right? And I don't go up and say I got indicted for this, okay? Because you don't know who you're talking to in prison, because you might be talking to a rat. So you got to be very careful. But you gotta be respectful. You gotta be respectful of other inmates, no matter who they are. And you know, it's a mindset. You did time, Sean, so you know. Okay. This is what it is. So you gotta get used to it. Will a guy like Diddy ever get used to it? I don't think so. Okay. He better, because I think that's where he's going to be spending the rest of his life. But I don't think he could. Mentally, he'd never be able to take it.
What was the most surprising things that this prison guard told you that was working at MDC?
He said that he is being treated like every other inmate, no differently. He initially was complaining about everything several times a day. And when he complained or talked to a guard, he would take down the guard's name and badge number and kept everything in a little book. Now, as I said in the interview, I presume his lawyers told him to do that because they were trying to build a case to get him out on bail of how bad the prison is. Come on, lawyers, give me a fucking break. Okay? What do you think prison is going to be about? All right? You know, you're not going down to the Riviera. All right? I mean, Jesus Christ, you're in prison. You know?
They would have to free everybody. Because yeah, the conditions are so bad.
Some of the worst prisons here in the United States. Although you got a bed in over there in England too. Okay. But we got some of the worst prisons. I don't think they ever put a nickel to fix anything in these prisons. I mean, but you know, maybe in Diddy's, you know, and then people are telling me Trump is going to pardon them. Okay, where did these people come out with this stuff? That Trump's going to pardon them. I mean, give me a break. You know what that would do to Donald Trump if he pardoned P. Diddy? Forget it. No way. He might have had a shot with Joe Biden. Okay, but Biden's gone. He ain't coming back. Oh, Christ. I swear to God, the stuff on YouTube that people come up with, Diddy was rushed to the hospital. No, he wasn't rushed to the hospital. Okay, they took me out. You know how many times I had to go see doctors and be to the hospital? I had a stent put on it at Presbyterian Hospital in Brooklyn. All right, they had to take me out one day. I got to tell you this story. this is how guys like us, we accept things, okay? They take me out. I'm chained. I'm shackled. I'm in the back of the van. I know instantly I'm going to be in that van all fucking day because the prison guards, okay, even though when you're through with your appointment, they don't bring you right back to the prison. They drive around New York. They'll stop. They get a hot dog, a hamburger, never offer me a goddamn thing, okay? But there's one time they bring me to NYU and New York University Hospital. And, you know, you go in the side door, I'm chained, I'm shackled, okay? And they bring in the side door to the elevator, and we're going up, like, to the fifth floor. Now, here I am, chained and shackled, I'm against the wall, one guard here, east side. The elevator stops on the fourth floor, and there's, like, 10 people that want to come on. And they're all looking at me. And I go, can you imagine? I said, all this for a speeding ticket? And the guards just bursted out laughing. I mean. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a picnic, you know. And then when I had my stunt put in, I got a cuff on each one of my arms and each of my legs while they're doing the surgery. Okay. Yeah, so is it a great life prison? I don't recommend it for anybody. But if you want to stay in a life of crime, I'm talking to the young men, then you better put your head to it that you're going to be put in the biggest shithole, okay, that you could ever imagine. And my recommendation is, there's so much opportunity in this world today. All right. Take advantage of it. Get educated. People don't read. People don't read today, Sean.
They're all on YouTube.
They're all on YouTube. But then, okay, look at somebody posts. They did an AI now. All right. Somebody posted a picture of Diddy's house burning in Homie Hills. He gets a couple hundred thousand subscribers and all that there. I go in front of Diddy's house. It's not burning. There's no fires around there. People don't believe me. And I don't get those subscribers. I tell the truth. I can't get people to subscribe to my YouTube channel. I swear to God. Thank God I don't count on social media to make my living. I am still a Hollywood fixer. If people come to me, they got a problem, I'm going to solve it. I'm going to resolve it, but they're going to retain me. Okay? It's legal, folks. I could do that. Any kind of problem people got, I'll resolve, but I don't do things for free. That's where I make my money.
Get your Diddy questions in, folks, and subscribe to Ori's channel. I'll put the link in the live chat. Or if you've got MDC questions or Hollywood questions. So we've got a question from Pam. Why do you think people were so scared of Diddy that no one would say a word against him?
Well, a very good question, I think. I'm glad you asked that. You know, I've done a lot of research on Diddy and a lot of things I hear on the streets. You heard that I knew Jimmy Henchman and a lot of people like that. I knew Suge Knight. All right. Tupac murder. You got this guy, Keefe, in Las Vegas that's in prison. I guess he was in the car. I guess Orlando Boy, the guy even got my real name is Rolando. All right, the killer. The guy that shot. All these people are dead, except Keefe. And Keefe has not said it once, but several times, that Puffy offered, Punk Diddy offered $1 million. I believe it. But how? I believe that's being investigated. So what's the prosecutor's problem here? You got hearsay. How do they take that hearsay and put it into and get Diddy into the murder? If you go back in history, Diddy was before he had Bad Boy, he had that other company. All right. And how many people died mysteriously that? How many people around him, Kim Porter and others, that died mysteriously of some sort of a pneumonia? It's no accident. I think one of his guards even said that Diddy tried to do it. He survived. You know? So there's a lot of questions. And a lot of people have said, I heard earlier that, you know, when Diddy first got arrested and all that, everybody's saying that, oh, he's going to get away with it because he's been a confidential informant. And I'm trying to figure, who did he inform on? Well, something that people don't realize, and the prison guard brought it out to me, that Diddy's inmate number is an old inmate number. Now, nobody gets somebody else's inmate number. Diddy's goes back. So we did some research, and all I could find, I found a record, 1995, it was. Let me get it. Hang on. Where is it? I had it.
Thanks for all your questions, viewers. Ori's YouTube channel is in the description box, and his Instagram, his website, his book, Accidental Gangster. I'll put it in the chat again now. And please keep your questions coming on Diddy MDC Hollywood.
Here it is, right here. All right. The complaint is threatened an individual. That's not no big deal. Plaintiff, United States versus Sean John Combs. 4/19/95 is when he got arrested. All right, in the Southern District of New York. But as you go through these things, on 5/19/1995, 1 month later, it is dismissed and signed by the magistrate in Washington, D.C. Now, why are you arrested in the Southern District of New York, where the crime took place, but a magistrate in Washington, D.C. dismissed it? There's no other papers.
Wow.
Now, my researcher found this was amazing. Okay? So I questioned other people. I asked other people, legal people, and they said the case must be sealed. So, had he been a confidential informant for a long time? I believe so. That's my theory. All right, he was probably doing other things. He got away with it. And, but this one thing here, he's not going to get away with it. Everybody's waiting for him to bring down who's above him. There's nobody above him. Okay? Nobody above him. People think Clyde Davis? Clyde Davis is with Joe Biden. Neither one of them know what they're doing. Okay? All right. Clyde, what is he, 93 years old? All right. The guy's not going to. Maybe he was probably a pervert like a lot of them. Okay. I'm not saying the stories are not true. Okay. But, you know. Who were these individuals? Were there politicians, judges, and very powerful people at these freak-off parties that they call them? I imagine that there were, okay? How many videos do they have? They say they got six to prosecutors. Okay, if they got six, it only takes one. Now, the one that's going to destroy him, and if you go to my YouTube channel, I posted it there again, all right, at the Intercontinental Hotel, just did this a few days ago, okay, where Diddy beaten and trashed Cassie Ventura like she was a rag. I mean, that, you know what, he should be crucified just for that alone, okay? Forget how many people he had killed. Forget everything else. Just for beating women. You're a tough guy? No. You're a fucking punk, Diddy. And I hope you hear this. All right? Come after me. And I'm 80 years old. Come after me. I would love to.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Oh, he could sue me too. What's he going to get? I don't give a shit.
You got a question from Ohio State Girl. When will Diddy's co-conspirators' names come out? Or will they? Because he must have had some people to enable him to run this enterprise.
Well, thus far, there's only been one superseding indictment. And I want to make it clear because I'm going to do a special show about exactly what the RICO Act is. And not like somebody I know who had that asshole Rudy Giuliani on his show. I wouldn't have Rudy Giuliani in myself. Okay? He's the guy that destroyed more Italian life single-handedly than anybody else. But people want to kiss his ass. Give me a break, okay? Give me a freaking break. All right? You know how many Italians are in prison right now to this day because of him? And they don't belong there? And you have put them on your show? You think you were a gangster? No, you weren't. You know what the fuck I'm talking about. It just upsets me. They take this guy and they want to put him on a plateau.
You got a question from Angel.
Huh?
How would the mafia deal with people like Diddy?
If somebody came to us in those days and we know it, Diddy probably would not be around.
Michelle wants to know, was the mob aware of Epstein's list?
No, we were not. Look at what other people do. Look, we're gangsters. We're criminals. All we're concerned about is getting away with the crimes that we did. Okay? We want to go out. All right? We want to go out and enjoy our life. Have a happy day. Make a score today, and we want to be able to enjoy my life as best we could. We're gangsters. I don't care. You're a gangster. You're doing this. You're doing that. That's your business. We don't get in other people's business unless we have to. unless it's brought to us that somebody did something wrong, and there might have to be a sit down to resolve it, or however necessary means to bring it to fruition. But hope that answers the question.
Yeah, but, getting asked for your thoughts on OJ.
Listen, I knew about Harvey Weinstein years ago. And how I knew was through a friend of mine who was married to a famous actress that Harvey Weinstein tried to do something. And he told me about it. I said, well, that's wrong. I said, you want me to handle it? No. Like everybody else in Hollywood, they knew about it, but nobody wanted to do anything because Harvey Weinstein was a very powerful individual. You know, now from Harvey Weinstein, this woke thing started. And, you know, it's got everybody in Hollywood frightened. I'm going to be honest with you. I know female executives at studios that if they get on the elevator, guys won't get on with them. Okay? They feel offended now. Okay? Because this woke thing went way overboard. But, you know, you don't hear about the stars who's worth $200, $300 million, and they're A-list actors. You don't hear them coming out and say, yeah, I went to bed with this guy and that guy, and I'm an A-list actress, and I'm worth $300 million. You don't hear them coming out, do you? No, you hear the ones who couldn't get a job, who couldn't act. They should have been delighted that he even wanted to go to bed with them. Forgive me, ladies. All right. What he did was entirely wrong. But does he deserve this much time in prison for it? Seriously. Because, and no matter, it's happening in corporations, it's happening in government, it's happening today still. It's just part of life. All right, some men are just no good. All right, and they're a little mental up here. Or maybe all of us men are a little bit mental. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, I can't tell you.
What about OJ?
OJ is another individual. Got a story about that. Many years ago, I told you I knew Joe Esposito. Joe Esposito, who was Elvis's right-hand man, owned the limousine company here up on Sunset Boulevard. My car was in the auto being fixed. It was in a mechanic's garage. So I needed a car for the weekend. So Joe let me take one of his limousines. On Monday morning, he called my car wasn't going to be ready till Tuesday. He called me Monday. He said, we need the car. We got to get OJ. He's got to get to the airport. He said, Ori, will you drive him? I said, no fucking way am I driving him. I said, no. I said, call Emilio. Tell Emilio to drive to OJ's house. I'll meet Emilio there with the limousine. I'll take Emilio's car home. And so when I pulled in where he lived on Rockingham there, he's in the driveway and his wife's in the doorway frightened as shit, and he's yelling at her like crazy. I mean, it was so, I mean, it's, he was abusing her probably during the whole relationship, okay? But on the other hand, he was very jealous of her, and he killed her and the other guy. I firmly believe Elvis did it without question. There was no mob affiliated with that dairy either, like these rumors start, okay, on YouTube that the, you know, he knew Gambino guys, and no, they were not involved. You know, so people come up with this shit and want to put the mafia into everything. All right. And pretty soon Martha Martha Stewart will be putting us in her recipes. Okay. But then, no, it's not. I met him and his wife, Joe Stellini, on Pico Boulevard. He had a restaurant, good friends with OJ, and New Year's Eve party. I did meet him then. That was my first time meeting OJ. Look, you live in Los Angeles. When you're going out, you can't help but to run in and meet other people. Okay. And, you know, I was out every night in those days. That was my life.
KP wants to know, who's the most corrupt person you met in Hollywood?
I don't know. It depends what day of the week it is, because there's a lot. A con man in Hollywood? Hollywood's the worst. You got so many guys saying they're producers, director, this, that, and never done a goddamn thing, only so they can get in bed with a woman. I mean, you won't believe. And everybody says they know somebody, but at the end of the day, they know nobody. I'm very happy with Donald Trump appointing John Boyd, Mel Gibson, and Sylvester Stallone as ambassadors. Had a meeting here with some prominent people in Hollywood yesterday. And I brought that up. I said, is this going to change anything? Because, you know, in Hollywood, you were a Republican, you got blackballed. And people don't understand what blackballed means. All right? Well, think about Jimmy Woods, okay? Jimmy Woods was one of the first to come out years ago. You don't see him in any movies, do you? Okay? I know of a director who won Best Picture of the Year, okay? Won 3 Oscars for his movie. But because he made a statement one time about, you know, that he sided with the conservative side, all right? Even though he won the Oscar, he got no reviews. I mean, they got ways. I'd like to know who this small group of people are. Okay, they'll probably blackball me too. Okay, but you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, it's just Diddy made a lot of money and he didn't utilize his money proper way like somebody else who was a billionaire. Okay, I don't know if you know it. He went from a net worth of $900 million. He's down to $300 million now. Still a lot of money. 300. His home is not selling. Nobody wants to buy it. Over here in Holmby Hills. Nobody. They call it icky. But you know, the same scenario. You got people in Hollywood or in major corporation, they got the power, okay? And they don't utilize that power in the right way. You use it to blackball somebody, first of all, that's a waste of your time. It should not be done. It's not honorable. Because those who think that way, then they are not thinking that we're a democratic society. They are the ones, they'll call the others Hitler and so forth, but they are the real ones doing that kind of stuff. They don't realize it. Why can't we have a friendly world? Why can't we all get along? I'm a former gangster. I got my beliefs. You got your beliefs. They differ. We could agree to disagree. But, hey, I'm going to still sit down with you and have a lunch or a dinner. It's not going to stop me. We just think differently. My neighbor thinks differently than I do. I mean, think of what a boring world it would be if we all thought the same way.
Viewers, we've got 15 minutes left before the next show starts. So get your final questions in for Ori. And Jen wants to know, how is the vibe in Hollywood after the fires?
The vibe is good. Everybody's worried about, whether how long it's going to take them to build because, they got all these restrictions. And, that's why a lot of people outside of California don't want to come in California to do business because of all the red tape. All right. I just had somebody here this morning, my gal who helps me with my, going live and that there, a producer she worked for, they had moved to Connecticut. Okay. But a lot of people are moving out of California. Taxes, we pay the highest in the country. We get nothing for it. You want to go on business, it's the red tape you got to go through. All right. They just hurt the people. They're hurting the people. And, but I think that's going to change. We're a free country. And our government has got to allow the people of this country to be free. And I think we're getting there. And I hope we do.
So you got a question. Was Michael Jackson a good man, or were the allegations true?
From people that I know who knew Michael, they liked Michael. So I can't say anything bad about him in that way. I didn't know him. And, the guy, I still listen to him too every day on the radio. All right. Definitely one of the best. Everybody wanted to be like him. Like a lot of young men, he had difficulties with his family and, a lot of bad things happened to him. And I guess, supposedly he did bad things to young kids. But I don't know that for a fact. I didn't see it. So I can't say anything bad about Michael.
What do you think of the early death of Michael and Prince?
I think Michael Jackson, what?
How he died young, Michael Jackson, and Prince died young.
He died too young. He died too young. Boy, Whitney Houston, he died too young. And then who was it yesterday? Saying Diddy had, they think Diddy had something to do with her dying. I forgot who, that came out yesterday, somebody on YouTube. I thought about it, wait a minute, it's a Clive Davis party. And Clive was notorious for these parties with the Grammy. And it happened right down the street at the Hilton Hotel here. Of course, Diddy was always at Clive Davis' party, right? Did Clive Davis, does anybody know, was, I heard they had a Clive Davis party, but was Clive Davis here? I don't know. I'm trying to find that information. Nobody can give me the answer.
So you're getting asked if you've got any stories about John Gotti.
I met John twice. On both occasions, I was with Sonny Franchese. And I got to say, John, with me, met me, shook my hand, and was a very nice guy. Can't say nothing. You got to admit, John was a real man. He was a man's man, no question about it. He wasn't punked around in prison like a lot of people want to say he was. Never fucking happened. He was a good looking, I'll tell you, he was a good looking guy, all right? And very personable. So if you met John, he was a guy that you would, type of individual you would instantly like.
So Hamamoto wants to know about Kirk Kerkorian, who beat out Howard Hughes in casino ownership.
Very interesting. Oh my God, Kirk Kerkorian. Boy, that going really way back, my friend. Boy, that, you must be my age. Kirk was a powerhouse. I don't really know much about him. But I know he was a powerhouse, and he was a very smart guy. And he beat Howard Hughes. And just, did he own more hotels than Howard Hughes? I don't know. I can't remember. I got to be honest with you.
Did you know legendary Hollywood producer Robert Evans?
I do have a story, but I cannot say it.
Oh, you tease.
I know a lot of people who know him and they loved him. And he was a great guy, but I know stories that nobody else knows and I will never, ever say it.
Sabrina wants to know if Diddy will spend the rest of his days in prison.
I believe so. Figure he's, what, 57, 58 years old? If they offered him, do you hear my phone?
No.
If they offered him a plea deal, he probably wouldn't take it anyway. What would they offer? 20, 25 years? I'm going to be surprised if Diddy survives prison for another year. And look, his trial is supposed to be in May. I doubt very seriously he's going to begin in May. I'd be very surprised. Because it takes a long time, and MDC especially, before you get into the courtroom. And you get a RICO. Now, somebody asked, why is there no other co-defendants? First of all, make it clear, you could indict one individual on a RICO, okay? They can do that. Now, they could have unindicted co-conspirator, which might happen, because the people around them who helped them with these things, I guarantee you, they are all cooperating and working off. All right, so they don't get prison time, or they get very little prison time. All right, they're cooperating, so they could become unindicted co-conspirator. And I keep going back. There is no statute of limitation on murder charges. None at all. So they got a lot of murders going back. I don't know if they're investigating him or not, but I would assume that they are. Now, they came out with, it was, some people want to say it was a big deal with a superseding, but So they left in a little, no big deal. There were no additional charges. But they're going to have additional stuff on this guy. I just feel it. And if they don't, it might be a good shot for him. Could he win a trial? You mentioned John Gotti. People love John Gotti. People don't love Diddy. Okay? There's a difference here. But John, remember when they called him a Teflon Don because he kept winning his trial. But if you recall, it was Sammy Gravano who was finding the jurors and paying the jurors. Now, Diddy's got a lot of money. Does he have anybody out there who's capable of finding out who the jurors are? And look, you offer a juror a couple $1 million to some guy that's working in a factory. So there's so much that could happen. Will it happen? I don't know. Will the government be looking out for that? Okay, we now got a new somebody, Pam Bondi, who I happen to love, good looking gal, all right, is now head of the Department of Justice here. So I imagine she'll be appointing somebody in charge of the Southern District in New York. They're going to go after Diddy. They have to. I just can't see any other way.
LP wants to know, do you have any regrets, sir?
You know, people ask me that question a lot. Like everybody else, I could have regrets. I try not to have any because a regret to me is a negativity. And I don't have time to think negativity. I got to get on with the future, and I try to think positive, happy, and I try to live every day of my life to try to make somebody else's life happy. And if you all do that there, you're going to find yourself being very happy. It'll come back to you tenfold. So I want to thank you, Sean. This was awesome. I could stay here all day with you.
Well, we've got 3 minutes. We got 3 minutes left before the next show starts. So do you want to tell the viewers what they can look forward to on your YouTube channel?
Okay. Something that you can look for, we're putting together. Everybody heard of Bob Marley, right? Everybody knows who Bob Marley is. But very few of you know who Danny Sims was. Danny Sims is the guy that discovered Bob Marley. Now, Danny was a very, very dear friend of mine. In addition, when Danny was here in Los Angeles, I was the guy that took care of Danny and protected him. When Danny was in New York, it was Joe Piney from the Gambino crime family. It was not Sonny Franchise, like somebody else was saying. Joe Piney from the Gambino crime family. When in London, my best mate, I miss this guy today, it was Joey Pyle. And Joey Pyle's son, Joey Jr., he's like my third son. And it's really funny, a young man came here a couple of weeks ago, he worked for Danny. And his mother makes tamales for me, and he brings me a big thing from my freezer once a year. And we're sitting, I said, you know, we should do a tribute to Danny. And that evening, I'm sitting here and thinking about it. I said, Jesus Christ, the people I met in my life, the things I done, I go, Ori, how the fuck you do all this? And I'm thinking about who Danny really was, okay? And other things that Danny did, now he was. So I made a phone call to Roger Steffens, who's got the world's most memorabilia on Bob Marley, who I met through Danny Sims, and I ended up doing the World of Reggae featuring Bob Marley at the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California. very successful exhibit. We made a lot of money. And now we got different people. And I call Roger, he said, Ori, there's a movie going to be made about Danny. I cannot disclose who the actor that's going to play Danny is, but there is already an actor, A-list guy, everybody will know. All right, so once I'm allowed to say it freely, I'll let you know. You're gone. So how did Bob Marley begin? Danny Sims was the guy that discovered him. So Danny Sims had Johnny Nash before that, and he blew Johnny Nash up. And that's how we met Bob Marley, and then it was Danny who got him to Island Records with Chris Blackwell. So it's just another thing that we're working on. We got another meeting Friday on it. So we're assembling more people. We're trying to figuring out how we're going to work all this out. I don't know yet, but we're going to have something for you on that there. And you're going to be hearing something very shortly about the movie after this book. All right. The Accidental Gangster, from insurance salesman to Hollywood fixer. How did a man from Rome, New York, end up meeting all these people that I met in my lifetime? Okay. How did I meet Sonny Francese? It's here. How did I meet Frank Costello? It's here. You want to know about gangster stuff? It's here. You want to know how to persevere, be strong in life, and get ahead in life? It's here, folks. All right? I guarantee you. And if you want an autographed copy, please go to my website. I'm sure Paul Sean put it someplace here. All right? And you can purchase an autographed copy. Otherwise, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And if you have not yet, please go and subscribe to my YouTube channel, because you never know what I'm going to come up with. Subscribe, put your notification, because I don't know when I'm going to go on. I just go on when I want to. I'm not a guy that works in a studio. I don't have a team of people around me. I just do it automatically, and you get it raw as I say it. Thank you, Sean. I love you, buddy. How's your little baby? How growing?
He's doing great. Yeah, much love, Ori, from across the pond. You're a class act. Everyone's loved your stories. We'll hope you come back soon, and you take care, my friend.
Thank you, Sean. God bless. All my love and respect to you. Take care, everybody.
Cheers.
See
you. Good night. Bye-bye. Bye. What a great guest, folks. So next up, we have got Tommy Scoville coming on to talk about the Jay-Z motion against Busby getting dropped. I seen Professor Hamamoto in the chat. Perhaps we can get him on later this week to talk about the Grammys and the fall of Hollywood. On Saturday, we've got Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend coming on live from Minsk, Siberia at 5 p.m. UK, which is going to be phenomenal with all this JFK interest. So we're going to end the stream. We're going to go over to the stream with Tommy, and I'll also weave in the Epstein list news that broke today. So thank you for tuning in, folks. Check out Ori's links, his YouTube channel, his book, his website, his Instagram. And we will see some of you shortly in the stream with Tommy. This one will transfer you over. If it doesn't, click on the channel icon and we will see you soon. It's gonna be the night's just getting warmed up, folks. Cheers.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.